Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
The Countdown for Chrysler.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The United Auto Workers could call a strike this morning against Chrysler. The union set a deadline of 11 a.m. Eastern for a new contract. The main issue seems to be job security, but Chrysler's new owner, Cerberus Capital, may want to outsource blue-collar jobs down the road. And to show the union any pain will be shared, the Detroit Free Press says Chrysler will cut salaried workers by 5%. The stock market rallied yesterday. The Dow and the S&P finished at record highs. You can thank the minutes from the September Fed meeting for that. They suggest inflation won't be a problem in the fourth quarter. We had the Dow picking up 120 to 14,164. The S&P added 12 points. The NASDAQ rose 16 to a near 7-year high, 2,803. The markets in Asia followed Wall Street higher overnight. Hong Kong set a record high. But in Europe this morning, the markets are trading down. Most research suggests that students in private elementary and secondary schools outperform those who attend public schools. But a new study out this morning finds inner-city low-income students do just as well in either public or private school. John Dimsdale has more from Washington.
The Center on Education Policy, an advocate for public education, concludes private schools offer no advantages for poor urban students. The center's president, Jack Jennings, says this study counters arguments for vouchers of public money for sending students to private schools.
The advocates for vouchers are saying poor kids in inner cities should have a right to go to a private school because they'll do better. What we're finding is that it's the family background of the students that makes a difference.
When the study dropped parental participation in education as a factor, the private school advantage disappeared. But Myra McGovern at the National Association of Independent Schools says that's not a fair comparison.
The very elements that they removed are often the ones that independent schools really nurture. They know that parents' contributions are very important to the success of students.
Instead of vouchers for private schools, the new study advocates money for tutors and translators to get parents involved. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
New York is nothing if not a restaurant town. An average meal at one of the city's best places will set you back $143. But which places are the best? The Michelin Guide to New York Dining was released this week. 42 restaurants got stars. And today, the 2008 Zagat Guide to City's Restaurants is out. But you can go online. You can get reviews from anybody and everybody, from the New York Times to the guide down the street. And that got us wondering, do restaurant guides mean anything these days? So we asked Alisa Roth to sink her teeth into it.
Ratings can make or break a restaurant. Dennis Marzella is brand strategist at Quantified Marketing Group, a PR firm specializing in the food business.
It's kind of like your local restaurant reviewer, regardless of how you feel about him. You know, bad review is not going to be favorable to you.
The Michelin Guide uses anonymous reviewers to make its top picks. The Zagat Guide lets the public vote. If you want to know what they think, you'll have to buy the books. Online, though, thousands of reviews are available for the price of an internet search. Does anybody actually buy restaurant guides anymore? Robert Sietzema is restaurant critic for The Village Voice.
I'm afraid they do. Your choices when you're going to come into New York is either to do about 30 hours of web research, or you can just pick up the Zagat.
And that's a problem for Michelin. Zagat's been a staple of American diners for years. For now, Michelin's only eating in New York and San Francisco. The French company says it plans to move into cities like Las Vegas and L.A. soon. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Hillary Clinton and other leading Democrats suffered a fundraising nightmare last month. Turns out one of the party's most prolific fundraisers, or bundlers, Norman Hsu, was a fugitive from justice in California. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, other Washington politicians have become entangled with a felonious fundraiser.
Bill Allen was a big bundler. As the founder and former CEO of an Alaskan oil services company, he encouraged his employees to donate generously to political campaigns, and they did, giving more than $1 million since the late 80s, according to federal campaign finance reports. But today, Allen and his former company, called Vico, are at the center of a tangle of corruption scandals. In May, Allen and one of his executives pleaded guilty to bribing Alaskan state legislators. And that wasn't all.
Executives there have pleaded guilty to crimes including making conduit contributions to politicians, basically giving employees money to make contributions to politicians.
Melanie Sloan's the executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She says politicians often return money when a donor turns out to have serious legal problems.
Members generally want to be careful about who their campaign contributions are coming from.
But so far, few who've received money from Allen or his former employees have given it back. Allen's now cooperating with federal authorities.
Vico's a big donor. They spread money around. If I were any member of Congress who's been receiving Vico contributions, I'd be nervous that the feds would be looking at me.
Vico focused much of its largesse and attention on the Senate Appropriations Committee, giving more than $200,000 to the campaign funds of committee members.
There are bad actors in the appropriations business, and Vico is certainly one of them.
Ken Boehm is chairman of the Conservative National Legal and Policy Center.
Anytime you have a player like Vico, it raises issues.
In the Senate, by far the largest share of these contributions flowed to Ted Stevens of Alaska. Stevens headed the Appropriations Committee for 6 of the last 10 years and still has enormous influence over how federal dollars are spent. Stevens staffers told reporters this spring that some contributions from Vico executives had been given to charity, but federal campaign finance reports filed later this summer don't reflect that. In the last 8 years, Allen's company landed more than $200 million in federal contracts. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.